book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Sometimes when I stand and preach, I think, well, if I don't preach long enough, some of you are going to think, man, we made all that effort to get there and we didn't stay that long. So maybe next time we won't make the effort. So I feel impressed to preach a while, all right, you know. But maybe that's not the way it ought to be. And so tonight, as I sometimes say, we may get out early, okay. That's not a guarantee, but there's a possibility. It just depends on what the Lord does, all right. Just depends on what he does. So Hebrews chapter 10, going to begin reading in verse 19, okay? Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. I'm going to leave off reading. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of let us draw near. Let us draw near. Now, the context here, I think about this sometimes, and I'm not sure how often we realize how different our relationship with our Savior is compared to the relationship of that Old Testament Jew with God. It is hard for us to comprehend the difference, all right? The context of our scripture tonight is in relation to the work of our great high priest on our behalf. And that's what we're talking about here in this chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest, and the work that he did for us, all right? The work that he did for us made such a difference. He came and he made one offering for sin that forever perfected them that are sanctified, all right? That one offering, he offered himself as the offering for sin. Once again, to go back to that Old Testament Jew, that Old Testament Jew was used to a religion, if you will, that had a lot of ceremony, a lot of things that were done really foretelling the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they may not have entirely understood that by any stroke of the imagination. They were used to going to the priest and giving the priest an offering for their sin. All right? They were used to doing that. Taking an offering to him and putting that offering in his hands and letting him make that offering for their sin. They were used to one day a year, that great day of atonement, where the high priest would take the blood of the sacrifice, go in behind the veil in the Holy of Holies in the temple or in the tabernacle and offer that blood on the mercy seat really for the sin of the nation, all right? So they were used to that. Now, you and I, that's foreign to us because of what Jesus Christ did. When he came and he took our sins on himself, on his body, bore our sins on the cross. You said, preacher, I hadn't sinned then. But what God did took care of the sin of mankind. And he took your sin. You said, I hadn't been born. That's all right. God knew what was going to be and what had happened, and he took our sin to the cross. Our sins were paid for, okay? One offering for sin. That's never had to be repeated. There are religions today that tell you that offering he made for sin was not sufficient. That is a lie out of hell. His offering was sufficient for all of our sin. We can't offer any more. You're not going to die and go to purgatory. You're not going to die and go to purgatory, all right? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to say, get your friends together on your deathbed and say, now listen, y'all pray me out of purgatory, all right? And if you can't pray me out, pay me out, all right? You don't have to worry about that because your sin's paid for. It's paid for. And our sins are remitted, and there is no more sacrifice for sins. Look at verse 17, this chapter. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh my, what a promise. What a promise. Now all that being true, that gives us something that that Old Testament Jew never had. Notice verse 20, by a new and living way. It's a new way. It's a living way. And you and I have the boldness to do what no Old Testament Jew could do. Throughout the Old Testament, they were commanded to stay back from the presence of God. They were told, you stay back. When Moses went up on the mount to receive the law, they were told, you stay away, don't you even touch the mountain. Don't even touch the mountain while he was there. Even Moses, when God appeared to him and spoke to him out of that burning bush, if you go back there, he was told, you take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, but he was told, don't draw nigh. You keep your distance, all right? Keep your distance. A portion of the temple was off limits for everybody except that high priest one day a year. You did not step into that area. You did not go there. And, I mean, it was off limits. Now, we don't understand that because we're living under that new and living way. And here's the invitation in verse 22, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Now, I'll preach to you about that just a little bit. We'll be done tonight. Let us draw near. Now, notice, I believe we need to come with preparation. Notice what it says there, all right? Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hey, with true heart and full assurance of faith. Hey, when you come, you ought to come confident in your salvation, knowing that you are in the family of God. Knowing you're in the family of God. We can come to the Lord in full assurance of our faith. Hey, I know I've been born again. I know I got put into the family of God. I wasn't born in there physically, but I've been born in there spiritually and been grafted in, if you will. And what a privilege it is to know we're in that family and we can gather together. We can come to Him. Come to Him. I never remember being afraid of my grandparents. I remember being afraid of my dad, but I never remember being afraid of my grandparents, all right? I always felt like, hey, I can come to them. I've got some grandkids. I like it when they come. I like it when they come and it's, hey, Grandpa, all right? I like that. It's good. I like it when my kids call me and say, Dad, can you loan me? No, they don't call me that way, all right? I like it, though, when they call and they come, and I don't say, no, I'm way busy. Don't be bothering me. If they call, I'm available. I'll take the time. Listen, I'm glad as a child of God, under that new and living way, we've got an invitation to draw near. But we do it with a true heart, full assurance. But notice what it says, with our conscience cleansed and our body washed. You know, I believe it's simply put, that means you come clean. You come clean. Look over in James, next book in the Bible after Hebrews, James. Look at James chapter 4, all right? James chapter 4, look what verse 8 says. James chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And if you're going to come, draw near. I believe the way to do it is to come clean. Come clean. We ought to come that way. It's hard to stay clean, though, in a filthy world. We live in such a filthy, filthy world. The only way to stay clean, it requires a lot of washing in the Word of God. A lot of washing in the Word of God. If you get out and about in the world, man, you hear vile language. When I was a kid growing up, you never heard a woman curse. Never. Woman wouldn't do it. Nowadays, they can outdo the men. Outdo the men. And what a sad thing. What a sad thing that we live in a day where people have just gotten so filthy, so wicked, man. I like the day of Noah when the thoughts of man's imagination is only evil continually. There's a tire shop. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but there's a tire shop I was at. I really try not to go very often, but I've been there. And, man, you can overhear the employees at that time. Maybe it's changed. I don't know. But, man, the conversation was vile. Just vile conversation. What a sad day. Hey, you're going to live in this old world as a child of God. It requires a lot of washing in the Word of God. If you're going to draw nigh to God, it's important to be clean, I believe, in every way. If we're going to come to Him, we need to come clean. Need to come clean. Most of you husbands, there's been a time maybe where you've been out working. You may have spent the day at the job and you come back. Now, I know some people, you work in an environment now where it's clean. But I mean, if you worked in a filthy industry where you got physically dirty, a lot of that, I'd be out maybe mowing the grass and on a hot day and running the weed eater, and you've got sweat coming off of you, and the weed eater throws grass all over you. And I come into the house and say, "Hey, sweetheart, give me a hug." I've noticed she ain't real anxious. She's not real happy. Hey, can I say this to you? When you come in the presence of God, we'll do our best to come clean. We're to do our best to come clean. I mean clean in every way. Come with clean hands, a clean heart, a clean mind. Hey, we're to do that, all right? That's what the Bible said, let us draw near. But wait a minute, having our hearts, okay, sprinkled from an evil conscience, bodies washed with pure water. I'm not saying you have to get out and get run through the shower and, you know, soap up and all that. But boy, you ought to come clean when you come before God. You're going to come to Him, come with that preparation. But not only that, come to the right person. Come to the right person. What a wonderful thing it is that we have an invitation. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." All. That's the invitation. That's the invitation. Now, the one that invited is the one we ought to come to, all right? Well, that's the one we ought to come to. The only one to come to for that rest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else can give you that rest, and He's the one that gave the invitation, all right? So when the Bible said, let us draw near, we're not talking about drawing near to your ancestors. We're not talking about drawing near to Baal or Ashtaroth or any other false god. We're talking about drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one we ought to have that idea and come to the right person. Come to the one that's given that invitation. Now, that Old Testament Jew, I told you, he didn't have an understanding of that. That was foreign to him. He had spent all of his life, keep your distance. Keep your distance. But the invitation to you and I, don't keep your distance, just come on. Come on. Come to Him. Come for rest. But not only that, you go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, it's not just come for rest. It's not a one-time offer that you come and I'll give you rest, I'll save your soul, I'll forgive your sin. But it goes beyond that. The Bible says that which we have seen and heard, 1 John 1, 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye also may have what? Fellowship. Fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When we talk about coming near, we're not just coming near for rest, but coming near for fellowship. For fellowship. Once again, I'm going to emphasize this because I don't want you to lose sight of it. This is spoken to somebody coming out of Judaism into Christianity, and he needs to be reminded, hey, you can come to him. You don't just come to the temple one day a year for the atonement. No, his invitation is you can come for fellowship. Fellowship. Come on and enjoy that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father. That's the invitation. We've got that opportunity for a new relationship. Take you back to verse 20 in Hebrews chapter 10. By a new and living way. All right? A new and living way. It's not that same old way that Jew had been going. It's a new way. A new door has been opened that we can actually get close to our God. You say, well, how close can you get? Well, John 15:15 says, talks about being friends. About being friends. And fellowshipping. Now, how often do you like to get together with your friends? Once a year is enough for me. Man, what kind of friends do you have then, all right? What kind of friends do you have? Now, the invitation's come. Come for fellowship. Come to that. Hey, can I say that that's a personal relationship that an Old Testament Jew knew nothing about? They didn't know anything about that personal relationship the way we have that opportunity with our Lord. Man, it's totally different. But we have that opportunity to come. We can come for fellowship. You said, well, preacher, we only have church on 2 days. I'm not talking about that. Now, that's part of it. We come to church. I come on Sunday morning. I'm looking for fellowship. I'm looking for fellowship. Come on Sunday night. Looking for fellowship. Come on Wednesday night. Looking for fellowship. Come on a night of the revival. Looking for fellowship. Go to other churches, Bible conference, looking for that fellowship. To get around and rejoice around the Word of God. To just be able to know, hey, I'm His, He's mine. What a wonderful thing that is. Just enjoy that relationship. Hey, that's the invitation. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Hey, we've got an invitation. All right, we come to the right person. We come for fellowship. It's very important we see that. But not only do we come to the right person, but here's where the majority of the message is tonight. We come with the right purpose. The right purpose. And the first one is really just what I've been talking about. The purpose in drawing near is for a relationship. That's what it's for. All right? One of the goofiest and most aggravating things about COVID was it keep away from everybody. Keep away from everybody. Stay away. Keep your distance. We're going to have social distancing. You know, just everybody stay away from everybody. And I still see the results of that. You go in the store and people in the grocery line, you know, and they stand further away than they used to. We stay further away. Hey, the good thing about our relationship with the Lord says, let's draw near. Let us draw near, all right? Now, I admit to you, I know in the last couple of weeks or so, I've said a great deal to you about our relationship with the Lord. You said, why? Because it's so important. It is just so important. If we could get the average Christian, if you will. Now, I think you folks are cut above average because you're on Sunday night, all right? But if we could get the average Christian to just realize they could have a lot better relationship with the Lord than what they do. A lot better relationship. The only way I know how, and your family may be different, but, man, as I grew up as a kid, we had two families, mom's family, most of them here in Texas, dad's family, most of them in Georgia. But when we got together, okay, we got together, we had a time. Now, the cousins had a better time than some of the older ones, all right? I've already told you about some of my dad's sisters. They'd get in a fight every time they'd get around, and somebody'd get out of sorts with the rest of them. But the cousins, we didn't have that problem. We got along. We had a great old time. I mean, we enjoyed the time. We'd get together and just enjoy being with each other, and we'd get something going and just have a good old time, all right? And depending upon where we were, if it was before Grandpa and Grandma moved into town, it was out on the farm, and there was a lot of room to have a good time, all right, and to get into trouble together, all right? And we look forward to that. Nobody said, oh, bless God, the family's getting together. We're not doing that. Oh, I hope it doesn't last long. No, man, we were excited. Boy, we're getting together with family. Look, that relationship, do you understand? That's the kind of relationship the Lord wants with us. And we don't value that relationship enough, all right? It's the relationship we ought to work on very seriously all the time. We draw near, why? To work on that relationship. We draw near to refine that relationship. We draw near to improve that relationship, all right? That's the purpose for drawing near. We get together for that purpose. Honestly, that's part of what we do here in the house of God. We draw together to work on that relationship, all right? We don't get together and say, who am I going to start a fight with in congregation today? Man, we don't come for that purpose, all right? We come, we unite our hearts, we unite our voices in singing, and you know, just in what's going on, why? We're working on that relationship with the Lord. And it's a relationship, it requires constant work. Constant work. We ought to keep working on it, all right? So we come with that right purpose to work on that relationship. But that's not the only reason we come. We come for help. When we draw near to the Lord, we draw near wanting help, all right? Remember, we've been invited to come, okay? We've been invited to come. It's okay to come so you can get help from God. It's okay to do that. We draw near to Him. You're not a burden. You're not a burden to the Lord, you know, or you're not a leech in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the Lord doesn't look up and say, oh no, it's Him again. Now, you've got people like that. Maybe that you look at that way. Oh no, it's them again. Here they come again. Now, I hope you don't. But I want you to realize when we come to the Lord never looks at it that way. Yeah, but preacher, I just every time I come, I just need help. I draw near to Him, but every time, that's okay. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to come. He's the one that can give you some help, all right? His attitude is not, as I said, oh no, it's her again. No, not on your life. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. What the Bible say? We have not because we ask not. We don't come. We don't come. You don't get the help you need. Why? You don't ask. You don't ask. We need to come. We need to ask. And Lord, there's something I need. And I don't know anybody else to come to. I'm coming to You. Here I am. And I'm calling upon You. Hey, we're to draw near to Him. When you need help, go to Him. Go to Him. I believe what I'm preaching very much tonight, very, very much. When you need help, the first place you ought to go is God. You ought to begin by going to Him. Going to Him. Now, then you might go to somebody else as the Lord leads you, but you ought to go to Him first. It ought to be, here I am, Lord, I need some help. And there may be decisions you need to make. You need some wisdom. You don't know what to do, so you come to Him. You say, well, I was just there yesterday. It's all right. Come again. He doesn't mind helping you. He doesn't mind helping you. We look at family members that come. You as parents, your child comes and says, could you help me do this? I hope you don't say, run along, kid. Run along. You're on your own. Go get somebody else. I hope you're willing to help, all right? Our Lord is. So we come. What's the purpose of coming? We come to develop that relationship. What's the purpose of coming? We come for help. What do you come? For protection. For protection. When I draw nigh to him, I know I'm going to be safe. Look in Psalm 91, would you? Psalm 91. What a tremendous verse there is here in the Bible. The first verse in the 91st Psalm is a blessing to me. I think about it often. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, when you're there, he says, I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. And he goes on. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, and for the arrow that flieth by day. Why? I came to him for protection. You just let me say it this way. I like being where I can stick my tongue out at the devil. You know, I think about a little old boy maybe been aggravated by kids in the neighborhood, and he, you know, maybe he finally got the courage to fling a rock at him and hit him, and they really came after him. And you said, oh, he shouldn't have done that. Well, it depends. Some kids need to be hit with a rock. So he does that, and he takes off running. And he's running for his dad. And when he jumps up in the arms of his dad, he can look over his dad's shoulder and go, can't touch me now. I'm going to tell you, we come to him for protection. I come to him. I go to the Lord for protection. The devil can't touch me. Can't do it. I can't take the devil on by myself, and I know that. I cannot do it. But I'm going to tell you, with my older brother, I can defeat him. And I'm not talking about him, all right? I'm talking about that Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to know to stand with him and say, hey, I got protection. I've got protection. I like that situation. So why do you come to him? I draw near protection. What else? Well, I draw near for provision. For provision. There's some things I need only the Lord can give me. Only the Lord can give me. So I come to him. Can I say it? He can provide your need. The Bible said in the New Testament, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever that need might be, you draw near to him to get it. You draw near him to get that need filled. Man, I like that situation. I go to him. If I need groceries, I head for a grocery store. And I'm looking for what I want to get. Look through there, find what I want, get it. But boy, there's some things you can't get at the grocery store. There's some things you can't find. Old Leonard Brothers, some of you are old enough to remember Leonard Brothers department store downtown Fort Worth. You go there and they could give you anything you wanted, you could get it at Leonard's. Man, from a bed to, you know, barbecue, it doesn't matter. They had it all, all right? And, man, when I go to my Lord, I can get what I need. I find provision. There are days that I come to him and I say, Lord, I need your help. You don't know how many times I sit right there before I'm going to stand right here, and I say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do what I need to do if you don't help me. I need his help. Don't you? Don't you need what he can do? Don't you need his provision? Don't you need his protection? The last thing here, to draw near, now you stay with me, to draw near to our Lord is to distance ourselves from the world. Because we draw away from the world as we draw near to God. When we do that, I think that is definitely the way it works, and maybe that's why some folks don't want to draw near. We're so firmly planted in the world And we're so firmly fitting in that world, we get nervous with the thought of getting away from it. But the truth of the matter is, it ought to be just the opposite way for the child of God. And we ought to want to draw near to the Lord so we could get further away from the world, all right? And they say, well, I might lose some people that I now call friends. You might. You might. That might be possible, could happen, unless you try your best to draw them with you, all right? Unless you try your best to reach them, all right? It could even mean drawing away from some family. Could mean drawing away from some family. There's some people that I know that I've had as friends that I realize I really can't be that good a friend to them and be as close to them as maybe I might like, because I can't do that and be near to the Lord. And if I have to choose, I'm going to choose the Lord every time. I'm going to choose Him, all right? Choose Him. So here we are, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. I want to ask you, do you need Him tonight? I do. I do. Let's draw near to Him. Let's draw near to Him. We've got an invitation to come. How we ought to draw near. Our hearts, our minds, everything to be close to Him, that we might draw near to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, would You just help us a little bit tonight? Help us see the truth of the Scripture. Lord, help us to realize what a privilege we have in the relationship that is available for us to have with You. Lord, those Old Testament Jews could never touch that relationship we can have. And Lord, the only thing it's dependent upon is us drawing near to You. Now, we might not have to clean up a little bit, but Lord, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. Lord, I just pray You'd help us to understand what a privilege, what a blessing we have as a child of God in this new and living way that You've given to us. Lord, let us take advantage. Help us to draw near for protection, for provision, for fellowship, or just for everything, that we'd get it from You. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Let's sing page 370. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour. Hey, maybe there's a little cleansing needs to be done before you can draw near to Him. Would you come? Invitation time, it's for you. God speaks to you. Would you come while we sing? Come on.
I need Thee every hour, oh gracious Lord. No tender voice like mine
can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. Sing that next verse.
I need Thee.